as another central bank cuts interest rates, Ukraine goes the other way. From APM in Washington, I'm David Gura, in for David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. On Friday, we'll get data from the Labor Department on how many jobs the U.S. economy added last month. A few minutes ago, ADP, the payroll processor, gave us its read, and some would say a good indicator of what the job market was like in February. The company says the private sector added 212,000 jobs. Mark Lushini is chief investment strategist at Janney Montgomery Scott, and he joins us now. Hey, Mark.
Good morning, David.
Mark, what's your read on this report we got this morning?
Well, we learned that it was a pretty good number once again, and it continues to demonstrate a pattern of labor market strength, which bodes well for economic conditions in the U.S. So the setup for Friday's number, which is the official one released by the government, is good given today's ADP numbers.
You're optimistic about what that number will be?
Yes, I think consensus expectations are around 235,000 or so for the month, which will build on a pattern of consistent growth above 200,000 that we've had for the better part of the last 15 months. And so I'm optimistic that number will be hit.
You know, unemployment has been a big issue here, of course, and continues to be a big issue in Europe. I understand there's some new data on the European economy as well.
Absolutely. Surely unemployment is higher across the euro area, but the good news there is that it's not going higher still. It's still elevated around 11%, but holding. Importantly, though, we're starting to see a pattern of better sequential news coming out of Europe. And overnight, we had news that their manufacturing index, along with their services index, reached a seven-month high. And actually, for the first time since April of 2014, Germany, France, Italy, and Spain all reported numbers indicative of expansion.
Mark Lushini, chief investment strategist at Janney Montgomery Scott. Mark, thank you very much.
Thank you.
The Reserve Bank of India made a surprise announcement this morning. For the second time in 2 months, it cut a key interest rate. This is something several central banks have done recently as they try to fight deflation and as they try to encourage lending. The BBC's Samir Hashmi reports from Mumbai.
Although the markets had expected another rate cut, few thought it would be so soon. But with inflation coming down thanks to falling oil prices, the move by the Reserve Bank of India is a step towards reviving economic growth. The announcement comes just days after Prime Minister Narendra Modi's government delivered its first full budget. And this cut's been seen as a vote of confidence in the infrastructure investment plans and the roadmap for fiscal deficit reduction, which the budget unveiled. And there was cheer too from manufacturers who say it will now be cheaper for them to borrow money to invest in Asia's third largest economy.
That was the BBC's Samir Hashmi. Just a couple of days ago, the People's Bank of China reduced two of its key interest rates. Ukraine, meanwhile, just raised its benchmark rate to 30%. That's up from just over 19%. As the conflict between Ukraine and Russia continues, Ukraine's currency has collapsed and inflation rates have soared. Here's Marketplace's Tracy Samuelson on this dramatic hike.
Ukraine's citizens and investors have many reasons to be nervous, says Keith Darden. He's a professor at American University.
Ukraine is fighting a war that it cannot pay for. It has a budget that is not balanced.
Plus, a long history of government corruption and it's running out of money. All that adds up to panic.
Ukrainians are rushing to the store to buy bulk amounts of sugar, flour, all kinds of staples.
Most countries want their inflation rate to be around 2%. Steve Hanke, a professor at Johns Hopkins, estimates Ukraine's real annual inflation rate is now 270%. Raising interest rates should draw investors and convince people to leave their money in the bank, but there's a downside.
It kills the demand and the attractiveness of loans. So you just shut down the credit in the economy and the economy collapses.
Hanke calls this a death spiral. He says to reverse it, Ukraine must tackle the structural problems that got it here in the first place. I'm Tracy Samuelson for Marketplace.
In just a couple hours, we'll get some new information on oil. Weekly numbers from the government's Energy Information Administration on supply. The price of a gallon of gas rose 14 cents last week, and it makes you wonder, why do gas prices go up so quickly but come down so slowly? Gigi Duban reports.
Gas prices can be such a downer. When they go up, they shoot right up. But when they're falling, it's super slow. Except in January, when gas prices fell 17%. Bob Johnson is director of economic analysis for Morningstar.
January was probably kind of like nothing I've seen before. It really did come down steeply in 1 month.
Since then, gas prices have climbed.
So it usually tends to move a little bit slower on the downside.
Tony Starkey is with Bentec Energy. He says that's because gasoline bought at the pump today is based on crude oil prices the previous month.
So there's like this a bit of a lag between the price we're seeing at the pump versus the crude that was purchased to make that gasoline.
Except, he says, when a refinery goes down, like for maintenance or if there's a fire. Because when those 18-wheelers are picking up gasoline to deliver and it's not there, the spike in gas prices happens quickly. I'm Gigi Duban for Marketplace.
And the nationwide average for a gallon of gas is $2.45, according to AAA. Finally, billionaire Paul Allen, Microsoft's co-founder, is a man of varied interests. He owns the Seahawks. He's invested in space travel. Now, he's used his super yacht to find the wreckage of a World War II battleship. It only took him 8 years. I'm David Gura with the Marketplace Midday Update from APM, American Public Media.